This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown! 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 Georgia!
Now here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49+. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow.
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC championship winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands. And guess which dogs are barking first?
Now with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Your cornballs get stoned.
Welcome in.
Running my plan. I'm the better man. Crazy raw.
To the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler. Join alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake. PuntandPass.com. The number one destination for all things college football. All right, Jake, 1 week until Christmas Day. Bowl season kicks up this week, which is going to be awesome. You'll be getting some Christmas shopping done. You may be kind of half in, half out of work. And you can flip on the TV and you can have some action. That's exactly what bowl season is all about. And then next week is interesting because with Christmas being on a Monday, I feel like these next 2 weeks, maybe even the next 3 weeks, it's going to be slim pickings if you're in the office. So you just had a busy weekend. You just got back from the West Coast. You guys played the Los Angeles Rams. You said you did get to meet Matthew Stafford, so a couple of Georgia greats hamming it up at midfield. How are you, brother? I saw you give me a few yawns before we started recording, so you got to be pretty tired.
Yeah, man, we got in back late last night, like around 2, 3-ish. Did manage to catch up on 7 hours of sleep, so that's fine, but just been resting throughout the day, went in and lifted, did that deal. We played the LA Rams, got to meet Matt Stafford, awesome dude. He put on a clinic against us. I mean, we're talking like 5 no-look passes. I mean, just some, hey, top-tier level, hey, this is what the best and the best can do and do every Sunday, and he's just been incredible for so long. So really awesome to meet him. Today is also December 18th, a week before Christmas. I want to shout out my brothers. They're twins, and it is their birthday today. Yeah, happy birthday
from
Dylan
twins.
And Tyler. So so that's that. And man, just another week in the NFL, just grinding and get back after it, play the Jets this coming Sunday.
There you go. Good stuff. I don't know if you saw this, but the Rams right now sit in the 7th playoff spot in the NFC. And if the playoffs started today, they would play at Detroit. You don't think that's a big game for Matthew Stafford. So see how it shakes out. 3 more weeks of the NFL season. Some really good games this upcoming weekend. Of course, Christmas Eve is Sunday, full slate. But then Monday, there are 3 NFL games. And the Monday night football game could be a Super Bowl preview, Baltimore Ravens at San Francisco 49ers. So those are the top 2 seeds, AFC and NFC. That will be a great game. I've said it once, I'll say it again. Christmas is a week away. What do you need to do? You need to get on over to Salomon Brothers Jewelers. I was just at Salomon Brothers Jewelers earlier today. Jackie and I went over to the Alpharetta location. We picked up her Christmas gift. The girls went with us. It's a family affair. At Solomon Brothers, I snuck over to the bar. Don't judge me. It was Monday afternoon, but they were pouring. I had one. The girls walked around. Solomon Brothers is the best. Solomon Brothers Fine Jewelers, no place better in Atlanta. 2 amazing locations. One is in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon where I was. The other, 17th floor, Tower Place in Buckhead. And there's one more, too. There's 3 locations now down in Peachtree City. So if you're a listener down south of the city, there is a new Solomon Brothers location just for you. Solomon Brothers has the biggest selection, the best quality, the lowest prices, and an in-store experience that is totally unmatched. Take it from me. They also have a sick selection of Rolex watches. I was walking around the Rolex watches. Salesman came over to me. He's like, what you looking at? I go, a man can dream. They had this Panda Daytona Rolex. He was like, you want that one? I go, not today, but one day. So if you just closed a big deal and you want to celebrate, head on over to Salomon Brothers. The lowest prices on the highest quality jewelry and diamonds guaranteed. Tell them Punt and Pass sent you. Or just mention myself or Jake. You can get 10% off your jewelry purchase. We love Salomon Brothers. It's like their Super Bowl time right now. Christmas, holidays, New Year's. So they were rocking. The showroom was very, very good looking for sure. Thank you, Salomon Brothers. All right, Jake, big news right before we started recording. Carson Beck has made it official. He is returning to Georgia for his senior season. And he made an announcement via the Georgia football Twitter page. And this was his statement. If it will pull up. It was previously reported that he was going to play in the Orange Bowl, which obviously seemed to be a pretty decent sign that he would come back. I don't know why he would do that if he wasn't going to play in his next season. But, quote, my friends and family have helped put me in this situation. I have options for my future. However, the NFL can wait one more year. I'm returning to Georgia for my senior season. We need everyone's support in Miami to close this season out the right way. End quote. Carson Beck, 01, hashtag go dog. So, thoughts? You were quarterback. What goes into this decision? Who did he talk to? What feedback did he get? Do you think it was a clear decision for Carson, or do you think he had some pretty restless nights?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a decent bit to actually weigh and weigh the pros and the cons of this one. You know, what Kirby does for the guys that are draft eligible and have a good opportunity, he'll go get like third-party draft grades from different consulting groups. And so they have a general idea of where they could possibly end up. And, you know, I'm sure that he got a couple twos, and I'm sure he, you know, probably got maybe a four and a five. And, you know, hey, it's an opportunity to play in the NFL, but then also too, man, you play at the University of Georgia, you can come back and really boost your draft status. So, and also they have a lot of unfinished business. You know, I feel like they left a really, really good season on the table. And I mean, obviously we all know that they should be in it, in my opinion. And yeah, so I think he wants to leave on a good mark, and now he gets that opportunity.
So funny you say that. You know, they feel like they left so much out on the table with this season. They lost one game by 3 points. You know, like, like that has to be something that fuels a decision like this. Now, everybody last week, and it's hard to argue this point, was saying, hey, when you see what Georgia's schedule is like next year, that certainly has to play into Carson Beck's decision, because it is not easy. Georgia has a lot of tough road games, notably at Alabama, at Texas, neutral site versus Florida. Of course, you got to play Tennessee and Auburn. It's a tough schedule. Yeah, they do get two bye weeks, but I would probably think, Jake, that when you are doing apples to oranges, the schedule next year, you probably compare that to the draft class of quarterbacks this year. Carson is a prototypical NFL guy. By all accounts, he can make all the throws, get another year of film on tape, play in the best league, the SEC. Hey, you might not go undefeated, but people aren't going to say you're not an NFL quarterback because you didn't win every single game you started at in college. So I would have to think those types of things came into his decision-making process.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, he's just a one-year starter, and there's a lot of football and a lot of room for growth too. So, I mean, honestly, the sky's the limit. I think we just kind of scratched the floor. I don't think he's getting any worse from here on out. Right now we're just going to see how high the ceiling could be.
Do you think this had anything to do with possibly Dylan Raiola looking elsewhere? It has not been made official yet that Dylan Raiola has committed to Nebraska. He, of course, took his official visit in Lincoln this past weekend. He was supposed to be an early enrollee at Georgia and a participant in bowl practices. That, of course, is not happening yet. But you would have to think that Raiola maybe saw the writing on the wall for Carson Beck to come back. And he did make that decision. And now you would think, there's really no chance Raiola's going to Georgia, right? I mean, is the hay in the barn? Is it just imminent of his announcement that he is switching his commitment to Nebraska?
Yeah, it's definitely looking that way. Just from the people that that I've talked to that I kind of know a little bit about the situation. And then also, too, he probably was hearing a little bit in that building, in the Georgia building, that Carson was probably coming back and he wanted an opportunity to play. So, yeah, it's hard to kind of blame, you know, either way. Obviously, we have discussed this in a past episode, but I definitely think that there's a cause and effect relationship there. And that is why Dylan Raiola looked to go elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm going back to the Bill Parcells philosophy of drafting a quarterback. You pretty much hit all of these, and obviously there were some interesting circumstances, especially given the timing. But one, this is Bill Parcells, again, philosophy for drafting a quarterback. Must be a senior because you need time and maturity to develop into a good professional quarterback. He must be a graduate because you want someone who takes his responsibility seriously. He must be a three-year starter because you need to make sure his success wasn't ephemeral and that he lived as the guy for some period of time. He must have had at least 23 wins because the big passing numbers must come in the context of winning games. So that's the Bill Parcells philosophy. Senior, three-year starter, win 23 games, graduate to see things through. So it's interesting. Obviously, Carson would not be able to start as many games as that, but he would be a two-year starter. He would be in the same system because Coach Bobo probably isn't going anywhere for 2 years. He's going to have a lot of skill guys come back. So seems like a good situation. And he'll play a really tough schedule. So I think it's the right decision. Again, we talked about this last week with the NIL rumors. I don't think he's getting $4 million. I think he's getting very handsomely compensated because he's earned it. But $4 million is a highly significant amount of money. Baker Mayfield is making $4 million this year as the starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So just have that in the back of your head. Carson made the right decision for him. He obviously had counsel, consultants, third parties, his family, Kirby Smart, Mike Bobo, all of that went into his decision. And today he makes the announcement, thankfully, right before we started recording, that he will be back at Georgia next season. I just saw a great tweet from KL at KLev19, and he said, "More like Carson back." I said, "I like that." Wow, more like Carson back. He's coming back. So there you go. Good news for Georgia. He will be playing in the Orange Bowl. I saw Trey Benson and Jaheim Bell and Johnny Wilson have opted out for Florida State. So Florida State's going to throw a skeleton crew out there. I don't know what that line's done, but I know Georgia was more than a 2-touchdown favorite. That game, of course, December 30th coming up. All right. One thing that caught a lot of attention last week, Aaron Murray, who used to be on the Punt and Pass podcast, he sent a tweet out and he was saying, "I've never seen so many 5-stars leave a program." He said, "What in the world is happening in Athens?" He said, "Are the young guys scared of competition or are the transfers scared of the competition from the young guys?" I am paraphrasing his tweet. And I saw it, and the list of transfers was there. It's a long list. I mean, Georgia's had a lot of people transferring out of the program, and a lot of these guys were 5-stars. They were 4-stars. But the first thing that came to my mind, Jake, was, one, a lot of these guys didn't play. I mean, Jamal Dumas Johnson, that's a big loss regardless, and I have no idea what the intentions were of him transferring. But my first thought was none of these guys played. And then my second thought was, okay, well, Georgia has 75 to 80 4- and 5-stars on the roster, so it's not like the cupboard is bare. I don't know. Maybe I don't dive too much into the recruiting, but this is just the new day and age of college football. Am I right in thinking that, or am I wrong in saying, hey, this really could be a problem down the line?
Yes, I don't really sweat the mass exodus, you know, that Aaron's alluding to here. Just from my experience being around the program, like guys who are leaving this kind of program and Alabama, you know, maybe Ohio State, like these are guys who have trouble assimilating into the culture. Like these are guys who are having trouble. I mean, honestly, like as simple as showing up on time, going to classes, doing what they're asked to do, like. It's tough being a Division I SEC football player at the University of Georgia.
Yeah.
And like whether it's on the field or stuff off the field, like these are guys that really didn't fit the bill, so to speak. And like very rarely do we have a Jamal Dumas Johnson or Jermaine Burton in the past who's left. Like that's a rarity, right? Mm-hmm. You know, these other guys they see the writing on the wall that they're probably not going to play here. And if that's not the case, then it may be tougher than they thought to play here. So I wouldn't really worry about it or lean into it too much. And then, like you mentioned too, as well, like recruiting wise, they do a great job of just constantly rebuilding it and throwing high caliber talent back into the pool and some other guys that they're going to fit in and trying to assimilate back in their culture and their high standard of excellence.
You know, it's fascinating the timing of all this because, you know, late last week when the early enrollee, I believe 21 of their 28 signees in this class, which is right now ranked the number one recruiting class in 2023-2024, they're already on campus. They're enrolled. So, yeah, you have an exodus of players, but you have a wave of new players, predominantly 4 and 5 stars, who are there because they want to be at Georgia. They're obviously younger. They're going to get assimilated into that culture you just spoke of. But I don't know. I chalk it up as the new age of college football. And there are special circumstances. You see guys like Mekhi Mews or Jackson Meeks. I don't know if Mekhi has announced where he's going, but Fran Brown, the former DB coach at Georgia, who's now the head coach at Syracuse. Obviously, he had great relationships with a lot of guys on campus. And obviously he's telling them, hey, if you come to Syracuse, you are a day one starter. You're going to play. You know how I like to coach. I'm going to put a great staff around me. I need guys like you, you know, and that's a great recruiting pitch because you can go up to Syracuse as a former Georgia player who's been a part of a championship program and you can help build that culture and you can have that immediate trust with the head coach on day one. So there are specific circumstances, but when you look at it on the whole, it's like, hey, one in, one out. And if you don't fit that bill, it is just tough sledding to get onto the field and to continue performing on a consistent level at UGA.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, all these kids have dreams and aspirations of probably playing in the NFL, and you don't have the opportunity to play in the NFL if you never play in college, right? These guys are trying to find a way to get on the field. Some are willing to do what it takes at the University of Georgia. Some maybe not. Some may not necessarily have the skill set or not get along with the coaches. There's so many other factors that go into it. But the new age of college football is, hey, when can I play and how much can I get paid? Like, yeah. Objectively, like that's the new age of college football.
It's crazy. It really is crazy. I don't want to go down that route because we discussed it in depth last week, but that's the new day and age. And I was hearing rumors, and it might have been at Florida State. Of course, none of this has been corroborated, but I was hearing rumors that supposedly there's this new trend of players literally holding these collectives hostages in order to play in the bowl game. Going to the collective and saying, we're not going to play unless we get paid X amount. And the collective's like, what? Yeah. And the price just went up. So if you want us to play in this bowl game, pay us this much. Of course, again, I've not corroborated those rumors, but I've heard that it's happening at more than one school. This is the new day and age of college football, player empowerment mixed with no rules, mixed with a new industry, call it. Of course, that is NIL. And you have some unscrupulous activity, unscrupulous word of the day. So.
Like that.
We'll see what happens. KJ Jefferson, former quarterback at Arkansas, longtime SEC starter. He has put his name in the transfer portal. LSU's Jaden Daniels, Heisman Trophy winner. He announced today he is entering the NFL draft. He is going to skip their bowl game. Georgia announced their new DB coach from Southern Cal, Dante Williams. Is that his name, Jake? I don't know if you remember the name off the top of your head. Dante Williams, that is the name. So he's hired by Kirby Smart, former DB coach for the USC Trojans, known for what? His recruiting prowess. Shocker.
Yeah. And then immediately I saw that USC's like best 5-star defensive back put his name in the portal.
Malachi Nelson. That's correct. So again, people, it's just what's happening right now to the great game of college football. Good stuff. What are the bowl games this week? Let's look at the schedule. Currently playing right now is the Famous Toastery Bowl. Are you aware of what two teams are in the Famous Toastery Bowl, Jake Fromm?
Is it Western Kentucky and Old Dominion?
Yeah, it is. Look at you right off the top of your head. good one for sure. Things kick back up tomorrow with the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. Texas San Antonio against Marshall. That game's at 9 p.m. Then Thursday, got a couple of games. Starting with the roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl, that's South Florida against Syracuse. And then Friday, the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl featuring Georgia Tech and Central Florida. Good slate on Saturday as well, but we'll have a podcast before then. Kind of thin times there on the news and notes across the landscape of college football. Carson Beck saved us with a good announcement before we fired up this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, what's really going on? I don't know, Coach. I mean, right now I'm just trying to get ready for Christmas.
Yeah, dude. I know everybody is. Everybody's trying to get ready for Christmas. I was just over by the Avalon, of course, when I popped into Solomon Brothers. Go check out Solomon Brothers. They are online at solomonbrothers.com. They are at Solomon Brothers on Twitter and Instagram, and the Avalon was packed, and it looks great, but this is it. This is the Christmas rush. If you want to kind of get away from the Christmas rush and have a little bit more of a special experience, get into a Solomon Brothers store. There's three amazing locations. One is in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon. The other in Buckhead, 17th floor Tower Place, and south of the city in Peachtree City. The store is for anyone with any budget, and it gets better because if you mention Punt and Pass, you can get 10% off your jewelry purchase. Solomon Brothers has the largest diamond and jewelry inventory in the Southeast. They offer interest-free financing options, custom jewelry design, and lifetime diamond upgrades. Nothing better than Solomon Brothers. Shout out to them for being the presenting sponsor of Punt and Pass. Follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at FromJakePuntAndPass.com. Jake, anything on the way out, brother?
Negative, Coach. I got nothing for you. I really do. Don't.
All right, my man. Well, hey, I appreciate you. I'm glad you got back safe. Sounds like you had a good time meeting Matthew Stafford. Commanders versus Rams. Commanders take on the Jets this week. Are you guys playing Christmas Eve?
Yes, we are.
Sunday. There you go.
Yeah, Christmas awesome. Eve in New York. Man, I think it'd be pretty cool. It's going to be awesome.
Sweet. I was just up there, so you'll have a great time. Yeah. Christmas time in New York. Nothing better than that. All right, everybody, have a great week, and we will talk to you on Thursday. See you.
We out.
Marketing is everywhere, from the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone. We are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.